2 weeks ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday or Easter. We talk about the time Jesus resurrected from the grave. See, after the resurrection, Jesus began to appear to his disciples so that he will give them proof, evidence that he was truly alive, because the disciples, for some reason or another, they did not believe that he was alive. Remember, they did not believe the testimony of the women when they went back and say, the tomb is empty. We don't know what happened to the Lord. And finally, they went and checked it out. But Jesus began to appear. Remember, he appeared to the 11. He appeared to Thomas. Thomas did not believe. But when they saw Jesus alive, they thought that the plan that they had about Jesus was back on track. Remember, the disciples were following Jesus for about 3.5 years, and they thought that Jesus was going to be a political leader, a political Messiah, somebody who would restore the kingdom to Israel, somebody who would kick the Romans out and restore the kingdom to Israel. So when they saw Jesus on the cross, they thought everything was shattered. Everything was, everything fell apart when they saw Jesus crucified. I guarantee you, when they saw Jesus alive, they probably said, hey, we're back on track. We're back on track. And we know, according to the scripture, that that's exactly what they thought, because the gospel tells us that one time they asked Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Luke, the gospel writer, and also the author of the book of Acts, in chapter 1, tells us that the disciples at one time asked Jesus, are you going to do it now that you're back? Jesus just told them, in other words, he says, it's none of your business to know when I'm going to do it, but I have a job for you to accomplish. According to Acts, he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's God's plan for you now. It's interesting. Jesus, according to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he appeared to the disciples and many of the ones who believed for about 40 days. And according to the Gospel of Matthew, the one we're going to be looking at today, the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, these are Jesus' last words to his disciples. You know how it is when somebody say their last words, it's almost like you better pay attention, because, Jesus' last words, last instructions to his disciples came according to Matthew, one of the 12. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. If you're reading the NIV, it should have a title entitled The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I mean, it's amazing. Some of them still doubting, even though they see Jesus and talk to Jesus and ate with Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love that. They saw Jesus. They had gone to Galilee. Jesus told them to go to the mountain. They saw him and they worshipped him. And then he gave them his final instructions before he departed from them. And you see, I love how Jesus started. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Translation, I'm in charge. Let me just paraphrase that verse for you. I'm in charge in heaven and I'm in charge on earth. All authority has been given to me. It's interesting because after the resurrection, the apostles preached Jesus as Lord. You don't see, when Jesus sent them out to preach about the kingdom, they never preached Jesus as Lord. They preached him as the Messiah. But after the resurrection, because he is the Lord, all authority has been given to him. All the apostolic preaching was based that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see that through the gospel, even in the New Testament. Acts 2:36. When Peter told the people to repent, that Jesus whom you crucified, he says, God rose him from the dead, and he has become Lord and Christ, Messiah. Romans 14:9. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. All authority has been given to me. He is Lord, of Lord in heaven and Lord on earth. And I loved how Paul, one of the most beautiful hymns recorded in the scripture, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, where he talks about, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when we're talking about Jesus Christ, the last final words, he says, all authority has been given to me. I'm in charge now in heaven and on earth. And then he had a task for the apostles. So he is Lord, and one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So no wonder he says, all authority has been given to me. You see, it is in Jesus' authority that we do things in this life. And look at the next verse in Matthew 28. You say, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of time, the very end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples. A better understanding, a better translation should say, as you go, make disciples of all nations. Another way of looking at this verse is, go and multiply yourself. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is talking to his disciples. So when he said, go and make disciples, he says, make sure that people become who you are now. Make sure that you multiply yourself. You are disciples already. Make more disciples. Bring more disciples. A disciple is really a follower. Believer in Jesus. Disciples, another synonym could be a student, a learner. You know, the Greeks have a lot of disciples, and they were called peripateo, which means walking learner, because the disciples would follow their master. You know, in certain martial arts, you have a sensei, and if you're a student of that particular sensei, you will be a disciple. In other words, you are supposed to emulate, to imitate, to learn from that who is your master. So Jesus said, make disciples. They consider Jesus their Lord and master. So Jesus said to them now, because all authority has been given to me, therefore, because of my authority, go and make disciples of all nations. Go multiply yourselves. Disciples are commanded to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. It's almost like it's a ripple effect. You're a disciple, make other disciples, and they, in turn, will make other disciples. Now, this task that Jesus commanded his disciples, his apostles, is global. You check it out. Go make disciples of all nationalities, all people groups, all nations. God's overarching plan is that all people in every nation, in every culture, that they will become followers of Jesus, that they will become disciples. It's interesting, the word for nation in that text is the word ethnos, where you get the word ethnicity. God's calling every people group on the face of the planet to be his followers, his disciples. You see, my friends, people matter to God, because he wants everyone on the face of the earth to become his follower, his student. They said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. Now, you might ask, why baptism? You know why? Because Jesus commands it. Didn't he say, all authority has been given to me? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands us to do it. And if his authority is his, when I have a problem with baptism, then you have a problem with Jesus. You don't have a problem with the denomination where you are. You truly have a problem with what Jesus said. He said, that's how you make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. And this is how you do it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, another thing, my friends, every disciple in the Bible was baptized. I always challenge people, find me a disciple of Jesus who was never baptized. You're never going to find him in the Bible. Because disciples first believed and then they were baptized. Now, John the Baptist, he was called the Baptist because he, the translation, John the Baptizer, because he baptized people. Jesus was baptized when he was 30 years old in the Jordan River. So, John the Baptist baptized his disciples. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they baptized the disciples, which means you were baptized in the name of the one you're following. So as you're following Jesus, Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're baptizing people in my name. Disciples were always baptized. Baptism is a public declaration that you have embraced Jesus, you have accepted Jesus, and are turning your back on sin now to live a new life in Christ. Like I said, every believer in the Bible was baptized. The apostles preach repentance and baptism according to Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven, and God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. They preach repentance and baptism. Baptism is the only thing that you do that is almost like enact the gospel. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live in newness of life. Baptism symbolizes Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then when you come out of the water, you're a new life. Jesus Christ said it this way to Nicodemus in John 3, you got to be born of the water and the Spirit. Because unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why baptism? Because it matters. Jesus commands us, and every disciple in the Bible, biblical disciple, was always baptized. It's today that you got churches that they say, oh, you don't need that. And I always say, so you are truly disrespecting Jesus. You are truly now obeying what he says, because he says all authority. It's not about what you want, church. All authority, I mean, Jesus said, this is what you do. And having a problem with that, then you're having a problem with the master. So don't look at, you know what I mean? That's why as a preacher, I want to make sure that I do things according to what he's saying. When you come to our church here, we baptize believers. The word baptism, what it means really is immersion. You see, today churches say sprinkle you. That's not even biblical, by the way. The word baptism means to dip into, like you had to be covered with water, because just like Jesus was buried in the ground and then he came back, you had to be buried in the water, and then when you come back, you're newness of life, a new creation in Christ. That's what the whole idea of baptism is in the Bible, which we still practice even today. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3, 26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. I love the imagery because it says, like, since we've been baptized into Christ, we're being put on Christ. We're clothed with him. Before that, we were naked, spiritually speaking. So Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Multiply yourself. Those people you come in contact with, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus commanded his disciples to teach others everything that he commanded them. Notice this. He didn't say, teach him some things. You know, in some churches sometimes, oh, because some things might be offensive. According, you know, it's almost like all you got to do is read the Bible. You want to be offended. I mean, there's a lot of things over there you want to do. But if you want to obey Jesus and authority, I mean, our job is to obey what he's asking us to do. To teach him everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you to the end of the age. As a follower of Jesus, if you're not learning the teachings of Jesus, my question for you will be, if you don't know what Jesus taught, how would you teach others? If you and I don't take the time and opportunity to find out truly, truly what Jesus taught, how will we make disciples? There's no disciples without teaching. Yeah, you can baptize. There's a lot of people who've been baptized into Christ, and they truly, in their hearts, they believe they're disciples, but they don't even know what Jesus taught. Therefore, how would you then teach others How would you fulfill the second part of the Great Commission? Teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And I'm with, where do we go to find out what Jesus commanded? Do we go to our National Geographic or mathematical books or physics? We go through the Word of God because everything is in here, what He commanded. So all we got to do is find out exactly what He said and then just do it. Teaching them everything I have commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But my friends, it's sad in our society today that there were people that they've been attending church for so long and still they don't even know whether Jesus said certain things or not. Why is that? I think we're just neglecting the Great Commission. Disciples are students. They are learners. We got to learn what Jesus taught so that we can teach others the same thing. That's what the apostles did. They taught. They made disciples, and then those disciples were making other disciples. And if you read Acts 2, 41 and 42, 41 says, those who believed His message were baptized and added to the number. The disciples were increasing. 242 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, meaning that where did the apostles get the teaching? From Jesus Himself. So a disciple just said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And guess what? When the apostles had the teaching, they didn't have a book like you and I had. But they had it right here. It's amazing how people memorize things. Even the church fathers, when they came along, they say they can have the whole New Testament with the exception of 11 verses, all by memory. Amazing. Now, I know that what you think. And you and I say, oh, we cannot memorize things like that today. Yes, you can. You just got to get your mind to it. So the apostles were making more disciples, teaching Jesus that He's Lord and Christ. More people were becoming followers. They baptized Him and they say, now you got to keep on learning. My friends, I don't know what is it about certain people. You and I will never stop learning. Learning never stops. It's an ongoing process. You know when you stop learning? When you stop breathing. You don't have to learn anything else, you know. But until that time, there's always something new to learn. I mean, the Word of God is such a treasure that when you read, you can read that text today, maybe in a year, preach again, and you was like, wow, I didn't catch that part. Because it's truly alive. And you see things like, wow, I've been reading that for so long, and it never dawned on me. Teach him to observe, to obey everything I have commanded, Jesus said. Francis Chan said, we all have a responsibility to study, and we also have a responsibility to teach. My friends, there's always opportunity for you to know the scripture, to know exactly what Jesus taught. Read it, study it yourself. Attend a Bible study. Ask questions. Because as a disciple, say, you are content being a disciple. If you're content with who you are right now, there's a problem. You and I should never be content with who we are because God has a plan to mold us and make us more like Jesus. And we all have areas that we're not like Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. You know we all have areas that God's trying to mold us, but it's like, no, not yet. And we resist the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes we don't see and experience transformation because we're still battling. We have our own ideas in our own heads. Some of you probably are not even listening to this sermon today. Being honest. Because you might be thinking about something else. And don't look at me. Jesus even said to the disciples one time, when the Pharisees, the one that Solomon was talking about, were hypocrites, when they read the word, listen to them. Just don't do what they do. So you don't have to imitate me, but just listen to the word of God. This is what He's calling me to be a disciple maker. He's called you to be a disciple maker. Now, whose job is it to make disciples, according to the text? Is it the minister? Is it the elders? Every disciple is called to make disciples. If you don't hear anything else from me as a preacher of Staten Island, hear this. Your job is to make disciples. My job is to make disciples. It's not just the leaders of the church. Because if you are a disciple, Jesus said you are to multiply yourself, make disciples, make other people, introduce other people to Jesus. So it is all our job. Oh, by the way, that's the only mission of the church, to make disciples. Not just of your friends, of all nations. You and I have people. You have people in your circle that me as a minister won't be able to reach, but you can. So where you go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples of all people groups, nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. But my friends, how can we teach if we don't know? Paul says, how can they preach or teach other people unless they are sent? How can they hear unless that somebody actually explained to them the gospel? Peter said, always be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks. We have a responsibility to learn what Jesus taught so that we can teach other people. And there are always plenty of opportunities for us to learn. All we have to do is become students, truly. Take this task seriously, the task of the Great Commission of making disciples. I think in many of our churches today, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. We do everything else, but we don't think about making disciples. So many Christians today, like I said, they consider themselves disciples of Jesus, but they don't even know what Jesus taught. They don't even know. You know, there was a program on the radio on 99.1, I think, one time, a couple of years ago, they called it Bible or Not. You remember that? And it was like, they would say a phrase, and it's not in the Bible. It's like, and people are like, I think it might be a Chinese proverb or something. Who cares? But that's not in the Bible. You know, like people used to say, oh, the Bible said God helps those who help themselves. Some of you probably think that's in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's Benjamin Franklin who said it. Now, people will say, oh, the Bible said that God will never allow you to be, that God will never give you more than you can bear. That's not even in the Bible. You know, I want to challenge you because sometimes we believe things like we have to redefine our theology with this book. This is our filter. God will never give you more than you can bear. Look at you right now. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of things. You're like, man, I don't know that I can bear this thing. What the Bible says, God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. I don't know how somebody put it. God doesn't let you do more than you can bear. Look at Job. I mean, Job was to the point of break. Now, God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear, but he was going to give you things that sometimes like, oh, God, that's enough. But how will we know? We have to go back to the text. We have to go back to the basic. We have, as true disciples of Jesus, our job is to really know what he said. Because there's so many people misrepresenting Jesus today. Apparently, there's a Jesus of history. There's a Jesus of the Bible. And you know, there's a Jesus who was just a great teacher who taught us how to be spiritually advanced. Scientologists, that's what they believe about Jesus. And if you don't know, it's like, oh, I guess, you know. So sometimes we have to tell people, well, according to the Bible, Jesus was Lord. No, he wasn't just a great teacher or a prophet. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say I am? They say, some believe you are a prophet. Some believe you are, you know, one of the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah. Who do you say I am? Remember Peter's answer? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well done, Peter. That was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father who is in heaven. So who do you say Jesus is? If Jesus is just a carpenter or just somebody, he was a great teacher. He was more than that. You and I need to get a clear vision of Jesus as disciples, that he was the Lord. He was preached as Lord by the apostles. And then he commands them to teach all the disciples, teach them everything I have commanded you. What are some of the things Jesus commanded? Love one another as I have loved you. Serve one another out of love. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you, and say all kinds of evil things because of me. Rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven. Man, Jesus was like in a row. I mean, he said so many things. But how will we know that if we don't take time to study? Like I said, the Great Commission has become, for so many churches and so many people, the Great Omission. Some people think it's not their job to make disciples. Many Christians don't see themselves as missionaries in the culture. You know, the easiest way for you and I to make disciples is this. You see, discipleship is not a class you attend to. It's not a program you develop in church either. You can attend the program. Five steps and you will not be a disciple. Discipleship, my friends, is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And let me give you a word synonymous with lifestyle. Discipleship is becoming missional. Missional means that you live in the society as a missionary, as an ambassador for Christ. That's what discipleship is all about. When you go around to the grocery store, there you are to be light, salt, an ambassador making disciples. Because you don't know, God will bring people into your circle and they don't know Jesus. And guess who's there as a missionary in the community? I almost said Pathmark. Stop and Shop or Target, you. Maybe the cashier had the toughest time in the life because everybody's making fun of her, and there you are in the line to be an ambassador. And you don't know what conversation you can have with her or him that will lead that person to know Jesus. You are there to make disciples. That's what Jesus said. As you go, make disciples. We go to the book of Acts. How did they make disciples? They were traveling. There was one guy in chapter 8, Philip, was traveling. This guy was in a carriage, and he was reading. And then Philip said, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, no, unless somebody explains it to me. And now they began to talk. At the end of the story, Philip baptized him. As you go, make disciples. Perhaps you have stories here that you make disciples of people because you have talked to them and you engage into a conversation. And that led that person to know Jesus. That's, my friends, how you and I make disciples. But you and I, in order for us to truly do that, you have to see yourself as missionaries. I'm looking forward to the whole union thing because we're going to be eating food with all kinds of people there. You know, and we might just start talking about, oh, what kind of food is this? And you never, and who are you? That's how you make disciples. But we always have to be aware of the opportunities. When I go play softball over there, I got to represent Jesus. When you drive in the car, you got to represent Jesus. I know it's hard for some of us. But even by the way you and I drive, we might, you know, where you go, where life takes you, you are to make disciples of all nations. You have to see yourself as missionaries in the culture. That's what the whole word missional means. And isn't that what the Bible teaches too? That we're just passing by, that, you know, we are, you know, that this is not our world, but we are in the world, even though we're not of it, and we are to introduce people to Jesus. You see, many books were written 20 years ago about, like, oh, how you can make disciples and things, a purpose-driven life. I mean, so many things. The greatest method of discipleship, according to what I see in the Bible and what you and I can do today, is through friendship. It's hard to introduce somebody to Jesus and you don't even have a relationship with him. It's hard to introduce somebody to Jesus and you don't even want to talk to that person. And so, as Christians, you're surrounded by neighbors. Some of them might not be as nice as some, you know, but they need Jesus too. And it will be your job. You're there in that community for a reason, that God is going to utilize you to make disciples. Sometimes some of those disciples, they just introduce them to Jesus, and then somebody else guided that person to be a more mature disciples. But you see, God, the arrangement for us to bring people into a knowledge of Jesus Christ is going to be up to us. That's what Paul says. It's going to be now through the church that the manifold wisdom of God will be known. My friends, I just want you to understand this. God doesn't have a plan B. You know, we make plans and sometimes, oh, you know, just in case it doesn't work, there's no more plan. It's only the Great Commission. There's no more mission. The church was created by Jesus for that, to accomplish his task, to go, as you go, make disciples of all nations. Don't you see that in Revelation? That John sees the vision of all tongue, tribe, and nation. You see, at the end of time, there will be so many disciples you and I cannot even count. John could not even count. He said a great multitude in heaven of all tongue, tribe, and nation. Disciples were made. People took Jesus' task seriously. And my friends, that's my prayer. That's my plea for all of us, that we take our job seriously. You and I don't make disciples right now in church. I mean, what you do, I'm giving you a pep talk, so when you go out of here, it's like Nelson talks about, this is the army. You got a pep talk. So when you get out of here, that day now you are in the world. You are there in the community to make disciples. Because the moment you get out of here, you're going to go shopping or go somewhere, even at a restaurant, and you're going to engage with a conversation with somebody, and that person needs Jesus. And it will be your job to introduce him to Jesus. And my friends, if you don't know much, you say, well, you know, I can point you in the right direction. I'm not saying preach a sermon to them. I know some of y'all are not preaching. Preachers, but introduce them, talk to them, share with them what Jesus has done in your own life. To make disciples is the mission of the church. The mission of every Christian, every disciple, is to make disciples. My friends, I said Jesus' mission is global, right? He wants every nationality. Let me give you an example of what happened in the first century. When Jesus said these words, go and make disciples of all nations, who was he talking to? Jewish people, right? Imagine how that went. When it's like, we had to make disciples of all nations. Jewish people did not like Samaritans, according to John 4. So now Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups. They did not want to do that because they were comfortable just being Jewish. You see that in chapter 2 of Acts. The church was huge, was big. Jewish people from all kinds of nations, but they were all Jewish descendants. Jesus' mission is global, right? He talks about everybody. The disciples, what did they do? Because they were comfortable, they stayed in Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But they were comfortable in Jerusalem. Like a lot of times, Christians, they're just comfortable right there. They don't want to be challenged, and they stay in Jerusalem. But let me just tell you what happened to the church. You see, the church was flourishing, was big. They had programs, food, pantry, all kinds of things over there, but they were not making disciples. They just made disciples of their own race, their own ethnicity, Jewish people. And then you know what God, you know what the Lord did? He brought persecution upon them. People were getting sick. People were getting arrested. People were suffering, and some even died. And then they mobilized. And I'm thinking, like, man, you should have avoided that if you just obey the commission. Sometimes, why am I telling you that? Because if you are comfortable just where you are, watch it. Because God doesn't want you to be comfortable, by the way. If he moved the church like that through persecution, I wonder what he would do to move you. You know, to move us to realize that this is our mission now, to make disciples, to introduce people to the Lord. So Jesus is so serious about his followers fulfilling his mission that he will do anything in his power. He will bring any circumstance in your life or around you to make you uncomfortable, to develop you into missional, so you realize, I got to do these things. I mean, sometimes you know how it is. God will bring people into your heart, into your life, that they're hard to deal with, and you wonder why. Because perhaps you're still praying, Lord, give me patience. God doesn't give you patience. He will give you people that are hard to deal with, so that you have to utilize patience. So, because you have a gift, and God will utilize that to develop you as a disciple, so you can make more disciples. Jesus will use any circumstance in your life and around you, because he says, all authority belongs to me. All authority has been given to me. And he's calling you and I to make disciples. Disciples of anybody that we come in contact with, people that we meet. And then he says, and look, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, you're not alone in that process. I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. I love one of the movies in The Lord of the Rings, and I use this quote a lot, but I love it because at one time Frodo had a mission to fulfill, and he's weak and he doesn't know if he can accomplish the mission. And at one time he has this vision that says, this elf comes to Frodo and says, Frodo, that task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shire. And if you do not find a way, no one will. Let me just say that and bring it to the church. Making disciples, it's been appointed to you, church. And if you do not find a way how to go about making disciples, no one will.